Hello, Loveland. I'm Mike Meldon, and this is your Loveland Weekly Podcast, brought to you by Gina Dubell Smith, EXP Realty, and Stone Pillar Farm. Whether through his roles as coach, teacher, friend, or family member, Stan McCoy Jr. has left an indelible mark on the souls of many in our tight-knit community. With an unwavering love for his hometown, matched only by the affection it holds for him, Stan embodies the essence of what makes Loveland special. Hailing from a lineage steeped in the history of our town, Stan and his family have contributed significantly to its character, fostering a sense of camaraderie and compassion that defines the Loveland spirit. As one of its proudest representatives, Stan's roots run deep, intertwining with the very fabric of our community. In a sit-down I had this week with Stan, I had the pleasure of discussing his upbringing in Loveland, the influence of his family, and the journey of his career. Our conversation, relaxed and genuine, offered a glimpse into the life of one of Loveland's finest examples, a man whose warmth and authenticity endear him to all who cross his path. Indeed, to know Mr. Stan McCoy Jr. is to be drawn to him, captivated by his kindness and humility. Join me as we uncover the story of a true Loveland legend. I hope you enjoy. Today is Monday, March 11th, 2024.
Well, I was born and raised here. So, I have three older sisters and my mom and dad. My dad coached and was very involved in, all the athletics. In fact, he got the youth program going, and they had a quarterback club, which is the Boosters now, the athletic Boosters, but it was called the quarterback club back a long time ago. And they had that, and he used to just, we were at fields all the time, either a football field or a basketball, he coached all the sports.
Gotcha.
So my sisters were athletic, and so our time was really spent around athletics all the time. We used to drag, dad would use his new car and we'd have a thing, be dragging the ball diamonds. We'd do that. And then, and I played baseball and my sisters played softball. So it was all, every night we'd have, we'd eat dinner. You don't get to do that too much nowadays.
Right, everybody around the table.
Yeah, but it was like, we tried to do that, and then, boom, we'd all go. We'd go, we'd go to the, my sister's games, all of us, and before any varsity football game, we used to do a cheer and that, and then I'd always go with dad. He used to rub my head for good luck because I always had me have a burr.
That's awesome.
So it was. It was a great time. And then, what I did is always played with my friends. We'd play basketball, come down here, and go to the old middle school where the bus lot is. That's where the ball diamonds were.
Oh, gotcha.
And we'd play football. We'd play basketball. We did that all every day almost. I mean, I don't know how you use a hammer too well and my dad didn't either, but he was always involved. And I was lucky because I got to go to the gym, being a gym. And so, I just had a great time. And it was, everyone knew everybody.
Right.
Back
little
then.
Little town.
Yeah, it was small. We didn't, after a ball game, we'd have to go over to Montgomery to Frisch's because there was nothing around here. That Lake Isabel Frisch's was there, but it closed.
Oh, there
earlier.
Was one right down there by Lake Isabella?
Yeah, and Lake Isabella was a Frisch's down there, and it was neat. It was, went down there quite a bit, but it wasn't open in the evenings. So after a game or something, we'd go, and I remember always riding with Dad after a football game. We'd go over to, he had a 16-millimeter, his film for the football game.
Right.
And to go back home and him just hitting it back and forth. I mean, he back and forth on a play. So, I got to learn pretty much about the game of football, and
watching film.
Yeah, and watching film.
Wow.
And he coached too. He coached the basketball too. And he coached baseball and track. And he was the athletic director. And
wow. And he's senior. You're junior.
Yeah, I'm junior, and I've got a third. My son's 40.
Oh, that's awesome.
And then I've got a grandson, Stan, the fourth.
Oh,
that's
we go.
In seventh grade.
That's awesome. So where did you grow up? What street were you on?
Hannah Avenue.
Okay.
But, I was on Cedar Drive, I think, when I was real young, right there on Cedar Drive. And then they built the house, and my mom's side, my grandparents lived right next door. It's right next door to that church.
Okay.
That First Baptist Church. So I grew up there, and we'd jump on our bikes. And, I even told my mom the one time we were we weren't really that far out, but it seemed like it,
when you're young.
Out past St. Columban and stuff, which isn't that far. And I'm thinking, man, I was starting to get homesick. And I start laughing about that when I think about it.
So what was your mother's maiden name?
Hauser.
We're going to get into a little bit, but, you got McCoy Park. Is that any relation?
That's named after my dad.
It is. Okay.
Yes.
So let's go through that. Your dad has, you have the LIS gym named after you. Right.
Yes.
And your dad has the middle school gym, and then your dad has the City of Loveland recreational.
And he has his name up at the high school up in the where they go at halftime and the refs go. That little building there.
Gotcha.
His name's just got a smaller plaque. I'm gonna see if I can buy one, make it a little bit bigger for him, so you can see it. But that's
very cool. And so. Okay, and so McCoy Park was named after your father. What year was that name then?
Oh, that was a long time ago. The lady who owned it, Mrs. Sloan, she wouldn't sell it to anyone because she didn't want them to make apartments or housing and stuff. She wanted it to be recreation, and so she sold it to my dad for $1.
Wow.
And he sold it to the city for $1.
That's great.
As long as it was a park.
Okay.
And so that's how that went by, because Mrs. Sloan didn't want that land to
that's
be.
That's great.
Yeah.
Yeah. Look how important it is now.
Oh, yeah.
Up there.
Yeah.
You didn't have that up there. I mean, that's phenomenal.
Yeah,
so what about, I read a little bit about Beef McCoy.
Oh, yeah. Uncle Beef gave stuff to people who did. If you didn't have any money, you were hungry. And then when he passed away, he had a container there at ACAP with people's names in it that owed money. They'd say, I don't have the money. And they put, most of the time, a lot of people would come down each week and pay it off.
Right.
But, and some of them didn't, but he was just, that was my dad's brother.
That was your dad's brother. And what was the name of, was it called McCoy's?
McCoy's Pony Cake Delicatessen. And it had great lunch meat. I worked down there quite a bit myself.
When did that? So that was right across from the canoe rental.
Yeah, it's right there.
The
parking lot. It's right where the parking lot was.
So when did the Pony Keg actually close down? Would that be the 80s?
Oh yeah, I know it was because my cousin Jack, and he was probably the best athlete I've seen come out of Loveland.
Really?
He was really good, just natural.
What did he play?
Football, and he played all sports, but he was looked at for baseball and football. Professional, but he didn't want to leave Loveland.
Gotcha. Jack McCoy.
Yeah, Jack.
And
yeah.
He was Beef. What was Beef's real name? Beef McCoy's real name?
Harvey.
Harvey. Gotcha. A lot of stories as you get in. When I went onto Facebook and somebody posted a picture of McCoy's carry out ad from maybe the 40s.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe. Yeah, a lot of people were giving their own little stories of going there after church or stopping by because
he had real good lunch meat. Yeah.
Right.
And the coldest beer in town, I guess.
Coldest
drinks. He had a couple of big walk ins and, well, not huge walk ins, but some walk ins to go. Not as big as they have in these stores now,
But for back then, that was it.
And there was two apartments upstairs. My grandma lived up in the front, and my uncle and aunt lived in the back of it, and it had two stories, really. So,
how did you feel about when it all went torn down?
I was sad to see, because it was right there by the bicycle trail, and I think you could have had bands, and that you could have made a fortune there, but that building was falling apart.
Gotcha.
That was a bad thing about it, but they sold when he passed away, and my aunt passed away. They just ended up selling,
Right.
Well, Dad's one of the best. I wish I could be a lot more like him. But
really? So tell me a little bit about your dad.
Oh, he was very athletic and just, he never seemed to get mad. You know, people would say something to me, and he'd say, you know, say something negative about him. And he'd say, oh, they don't mean it, you know, and he'd be like that. But Dad was a tough man.
Yeah.
I'll never forget the experience of football when our, what year was that? 2013 when we won the state football championship. Yep. Those kids, and I had the opportunity to coach them when they were in eighth grade, but they didn't lose a game, you know, through youth program, middle school. And I mean, they lost a game or two maybe in high school.
Right.
But that group, that was so much fun to watch and go do that. And that's when I wish my dad would have been around to see that.
Yeah.
But I believe he probably did see it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But, you know, that was just.
From what it seems like, yeah, your dad is a legend.
He touched so many people's lives. He would go help. I mean, Christmas time, I remember buying stuff for. And my mom and dad, we didn't have a whole lot of money, but you'd never know.
Mm-hmm.
You know? I never knew.
Mm-hmm.
Growing up, I always had, you know, clean clothes and always had food. And,
right.
You know.
And but, the accolades that came, I mean, the community loved him, but you said you want to be more like your, a lot more like your, but man, it seems like you are.
Yeah.
It seems like you're there.
Well, one thing I did, but I don't drink anymore, but I did. He drank three times and said he got in three fights and he never drank again.
Three and done.
Yeah, well, he said every time he drank, he got in a fight. So,
wow.
But I'm going to tell you the story, but, you know, yeah. Dad probably wouldn't want me to tell it, but he was going to play Highlands, Kentucky. He was coaching at Loveland. They were going to play Highlands, and Highlands had won 100 games at home in a row.
Wow.
You know, and so he goes down to this, I got a couple stories about
yeah,
this.
Yeah, I love it, yeah.
He goes down to the coaches meeting with all the Cincinnati coaches and everything. And, you know, they knew each other and stuff, but they said to him, they said, Stan, why are you scheduling Highlands? They said, we won't even schedule Highlands. And Dad looked at him and said, what makes you think you could beat us? And that's how my dad was,
right.
You know, and, but Loveland did go down there and we did beat them 21-20.
Wow.
And then the next year they came to Loveland and that was 66 football season. In 67 football season, we beat them 27-7 or something like that, and they dropped us. And if you talk to people from Highlands, they say, I didn't have them. I say, you look it up, man. It's there. You know.
Great.
But we were going down there, and we scouted them, and our dad scouted them. You know, I was watching a game. And we're coming back, and we're down there down in Cincinnati, getting ready to get on at Columbia Parkway.
Mm-hmm.
And this guy on a motorcycle had a big beard and stuff. He must have did something, came at the car. My uncle was driving.
Oh, geez.
And so we stopped. The guy gets off his motorcycle and Dad gets off. And Dad goes out and my Uncle Chuck said, I'll take care of him. Dad said, no, I will. And so he went out there and Dad grabbed both of his hands and squeezed them. So he opened up, make sure he didn't have a knife or something.
Right.
Backed off and then knocked him out.
Oh, jeez.
And I'm thinking, you got to be kidding me. And so then we went to that mainliner Frisch's up there and got something to eat and just laughing about him, thinking, shh. But see, that's what they used to do back then, you know,
sure.
A lot. And that's, you know, but they could, you could get in a fight back then and shake each other's, you know, shake hands.
Oh, sure.
You know,
yeah, yeah.
That's how it was when I was growing up. You're not going to get a shot or.
Yeah, they're not going to come back and get you later.
No, you become friends, really.
But, right, yeah, shake it off. You know,
that's something that's changed pretty much, you know,
yeah,
from when I grew up to.
Let's talk about that for a second. What about Loveland's change? How do you feel about that?
Oh, I know change is going to happen, and Loveland's a lot bigger. There's a lot more, you know, and what they did down there, the only thing I don't like is the traffic.
Sure.
You know, but I mean, having all that there, you know, that's kind of neat. It's getting. People from around Cincinnati are saying, hey, come out here, you know.
Check out Loveland.
So it's good, and then you're building all these, you know, houses where it was all just farmland. And because I tell you, you did something when I was in school, you couldn't get away. I mean, we didn't have cell phones and stuff.
Sure.
And I'm glad we didn't.
Me too. I didn't have them until college, yeah.
But people would know. They tell, you know, they watched. They took care of each other.
Yep.
You know, it was more of that than watching and telling on you.
Mm-hmm.
But if you did something like, you know, throwing eggs at cars or
sure.
Doing something like that, it's going to come back and get you.
Yep.
You know, and then because they just tell your parents, you
sure.
know.
Sure. went to Xavier.
I went to Xavier.
So did you play any sports there, or how was that experience?
I was Tay Baker's first recruit, basketball recruit, when he got hired at Xavier. And I played each year. I played maybe start eight games, sit on the bench for eight maybe, and then be the first one in. I did that every year.
I didn't know you played basketball for Xavier.
Yeah, and we were independent back then. They were independent.
Gotcha.
But I met some good – I got some good buddies from playing ball there. So
we're a big Xavier fan.
Yeah,
we're basketball
and that
fan.
Joe Sunderman, I played 2 years with Joe.
Oh, nice.
That announces. He's just a super, super guy.
That's how I became a Xavier basketball fan. My neighbor was Andy McWilliams.
Okay.
Who used to do the announcing back in the day. And he let me come and be ball boy, and then I got my master's degree from there.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we're a big Xavier family.
But I played back from, because I graduated from Loveland in 73, and I played there until 77. You know, that's when Tay Baker and that started getting a lot better after I left. But, and I tell people, though, too, because we played a lot of good teams, you know, and I said, boy, if I didn't try, I mean, just bust my tail, you get embarrassed.
Sure.
And some, because they're so quick and they're good.
So teaching 30 some years, right? What's a good memory? What's a good story?
Oh, I always like the kids, and it's funny. I always tell these kids, cause fifth and sixth graders will do anything in gym class. So you don't have to worry about what you do, cause they're into doing everything,
right.
You know, and they'll go, they'll actually do it. You don't have to worry about it. Mom, I'm not going to do this.
Yeah. Trying to be cool yet.
Yeah. But I always told them, I said, well, I'm asking what they were going to do for spring break and stuff. And then I'd always tell them, you're going to go to Loveland's capital, because I always told them Branch Hill was Loveland's capital.
Oh. Okay.
And so they'd just look and say, what? And I'd just be real serious and tell them. But I had a lot of fun.
Yeah.
I loved it. Yeah. I didn't consider that work.
That's awesome.
And it was just so much. I enjoyed watching them and then watching them develop through Loveland. And then I worked with great people. This Barb Orsinelli's still up there teaching. I worked with her from, I had some people retire already, but that I worked with. But it was, I just had a blast doing it.
2020, and that was it, right? All just because of the online and just everything, everything's changed.
I finished that year out, of course, where no one was doing anything.
Mm-hmm.
And we're doing gym on, I was looking up all these things on a computer, and I'm not a computer guy.
Right.
Which is, and I know it's, people use it and it's good. But I still like to look someone in the eye when I talk to them about something. I don't want to be, typing how I feel on a computer.
Yep.
I'd rather just go see them and talk to them, and that way I can read them and they can read me.
Exactly.
I'm not going to lie to you. I'm going to tell you how I feel, and I'm not always right neither, but that's, kids, the kids are very important around here, and they're doing well. I mean, it's they do good.
People get that. People, I think as a teacher too. That's my favorite part. The kids and you hear people that aren't really as connected talk about society and the kids these days or whatever. But when you know them like we do, there's not a lot of difference.
There's no difference really.
No.
I mean, they. In fact, they have it harder. I think because I think having cell phones like that. If they get out of line at all, someone might be putting them on film and saying, hey,
Yeah, they got to deal with that. Any little thing, they can be embarrassed now.
Oh,
people
yeah.
share stuff. It's crazy.
And, I don't like that part of it because I want them to be happy, and enjoy themselves because it's, they're a young age. And it's
going to be gone before they know it. Final words. You are, whether you realize it or not, a living legend here. You are beloved by the Loveland community. What do you want to say to Loveland people?
I want to thank them for how they are and the kids they've raised, because I taught some great kids. In fact, all of them are great, and just showing love and compassion. It's, and having character. Character's so big.
Uh-huh.
You know, and I know my dad always told me, the one thing I remember Dad always told me is, if you're going to go do something, do your very best or don't do it at all. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's true in anything. You know, so if you're going to actually go do something, do it the best you can. And then, or don't do it. You know, there's no sense in doing it halfway. But just, you know, being around Loveland's, it's a beautiful place. I love it. I don't, you know, no desire to leave it. And just watching it grow, you know. And it was a lot different when I was growing up because there wasn't as people, many people or anything. But, hey, people are good, especially Loveland people. You know, I have a special place in my heart for them.
Hey, Loveland, it's Emily Barblow, your local publisher of Loveland Lifestyle Magazine. Just wanted to remind you guys that we love covering all of the people, happenings, and things going on in our amazing town of Loveland, Ohio. So make sure to grab your latest copy. We always drop a bunch off in downtown Loveland and surrounding areas. Or follow us on Facebook and Instagram. Everything from events to mini press releases, articles. I mean, we have so much happening here. We love covering all of the things happening. So make sure if you're not already following us on social media, you are. And stay tuned for more awesome info from Loveland Lifestyle.
It's Elise Knapp-Schaefer back with another Loveland High School Weekly Update. So this week marks the first week of the fourth quarter, which for seniors means one more quarter left before they leave, and for everyone else means one more quarter left to hopefully get those grades up before the end of the year. For athletic events this week, girls wrestling is going to state in Columbus. There is home games for baseball, volleyball, lacrosse, for both boys and girls. Some of these are scrimmages and some of these are actual games, but because of the weather and getting into the swing of things, spring sports have officially started.
Are you looking to make a difference in your neighborhood? Love Our Land has got you covered. We're on a mission to bring back life to our neighborhoods one yard at a time. Join us in restoring what we've lost to invasive species and help our neighborhoods thrive again with a variety of life. From educational classes to nature walks, Love Our Land offers it all. Become a member today and make a positive impact on your community. And when you do, all events and classes are absolutely free. It truly takes all of us. Visit loveourland.org for more information. Let's make our neighborhoods bloom together with Love Our Land. Looking ahead in Loveland, on St. Patrick's Day, March 17th, from 4:30 to 7 p.m., there will be a Taylor Swift skate night at Castle Skateland. No need to calm down. Mark your calendars for this one-night-only event. Come dressed as your favorite Taylor Swift era and skate it off. There will be giveaways, bracelets, and one-night-only shirts. Are you ready for it? We'll see you there. If you have any events that you would like me to mention or show ideas for the podcast, please reach out to mike@lovelandpod.com. We have something truly special here in Loveland. Thank you for listening, and have a great week. With the support of On Brand Studios, this episode was recorded, produced, and engineered by Mike Meldon. Please note that the opinions expressed in the podcast do not necessarily represent the views of our sponsors or organizations.